From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. Alleged gunman Derek Goffner smiled during his second court hearing over the shootings in Tucson. Loeffner was in a federal courtroom in Phoenix Monday to face charges of trying to kill a U.S. congresswoman and two of her aides. NPR's Ted Robbins says Loeffner's plea, as expected, was not guilty.
Judy Clark, his defense attorney, was with him and putting her arm on his back to reassure him a number of times, asking him questions to which he answered. Judy Clark seems to have a sort of a motherly or grandmotherly demeanor, and she seems to want to reassure her client that she's there for him and make sure he understands, and she just has a sort of a literally hands-on demeanor about her.
NPR's Ted Robbins reporting. Loeffner is expected to face more federal and state charges involving the 16 other victims, including the late federal judge John Roll. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia addressed House lawmakers on Monday during an event sponsored by the Tea Party Caucus. NPR's Audie Cornish reports that the gathering was just one in a series of events being planned by the caucus.
Minnesota Republican Michelle Bachmann heads the caucus, which seeks to represent Tea Party activists in Congress. But Bachmann said the speech was open to Democrats and Republicans, and that this is the first of many events the caucus wants to hold focusing on the Constitution.
We will be extending an invitation to any of the justices who would like to speak with us. We'd be honored to have any of them come that are there, and whether they're liberal or conservative, we'd leave it for your judgment to determine.
Bachmann will take the spotlight again after the President's State of the Union address. She's scheduled to speak to the Tea Party Express in reaction to the President's speech, while the official Republican response will come from House Budget Chairman Paul Ryan. Audie Cornish, NPR News, the Capitol.
Rival political groups in Lebanon remain at odds over who should be their next prime minister. As Don Duncan reports from Beirut, Hezbollah and its allies won support to nominate their candidate Monday, sparking unrest in the capital.
Street protests by Sunni Muslims frustrated with the recent toppling of the government by Shiite Hezbollah and its allies has descended into fighting. Burning tires are blocking some of the main arteries in the city. The violence comes at the end of the first day of 2 days of parliamentary consultations by President Michel Sleiman over who should be the next prime minister. The majority of Lebanon's Sunnis want their political leader, Saad Hariri, the recently deposed prime minister, to be returned to his post in the next government. But a recent alignment of an independent bloc in parliament means that it is very likely that Hezbollah and its allies will see its choice of candidate, Najib Mikati, take the premier spot, to the anger of Hariri's followers. For NPR News, this is Don Duncan in Beirut.
This is NPR News. Former White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel is fighting an appeals court decision keeping his name off of Chicago's mayoral ballot. The appellate panel says Emanuel failed to meet residency requirements that candidates reside in the city in the year before the election. A lower court ruled earlier that Emanuel did not give up his residency while he was working in the White House. Chicago elections officials, meantime, say they will begin printing ballots without Emanuel's name on them as soon as Tuesday. The Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, says recent media reports claiming widespread misuse of grant funds are based on incidents that occurred last year. But Lisa Schlein in Geneva says the fund is still investigating.
The fund's executive director, Michelle Kazachkin, says last year an audit found the grave misuse of funds in four of the 145 countries that receive grants.
As a result, immediate steps were taken in Djibouti, in Mali, in Mauritania, and in Zambia to recover misappropriated funds and to prevent future misuse of grant money.
Kazachkin says the misappropriated money amounts to $34 million, which is a fraction of the fund's total disbursement of $13 billion. He says the fund is trying to recover this money and criminal proceedings are underway. He adds the fund has zero tolerance for corruption and is fully accountable to its donors. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
Asian shares are mostly higher following strong gains on Wall Street. Japan's Nikkei is up 1.2%. I'm Shea Stevens, NPR News, from Washington.